141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's goalless at half-time between Gibraltar and Scotland in Faro, with the second half just kicking off. Oscar Cortez agrees a long-term deal with Rangers as they release five players, and Leon Balogun signs a new deal, and Celtic continue their pursuit of Ida and Bernardo on a permanent basis. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
Now, the excitable and the irrational, and I am talking about me, have to retain a sense of perspective here. It is half-time. The second half has just begun in Faro, but it is not a farce in Faro. It's a preparatory match, and the only thing that's gone wrong so far, Cammy, is that we have, truthfully, missed a succession of chances.
Yeah, there's been a number of chances, and it's always a difficult game, this one, I feel. I feel as if it's a friendly against a really low-ranked team who's going to sit in. You're going to have loads of the ball. It's not probably what Scotland used to, but they've just not taken their chances. They've had a number of opportunities, and really good ones as well, and they've just not found that first goal yet.
Yeah, well, that starting lineup, I'll give you that. It was Xander Clark in goal. It was a back four instead of a back three that we're used to seeing under Steve Clarke. So it was Ross McCrory coming in for his first cap, Ryan Porteous, Grant Hanley and Andy Robertson, the two holding midfielders, Kenny McLean and Billy Gilmore, with Ryan Christie, John McGinn and James Forrest in behind Lauren Shanklin. There has been one change at half-time. Grant Hanley has gone off and Liam Cooper has come on. I think he's just headed over from a corner there, has he, with 47 minutes on the clock. So it looks as if the chances are going to keep coming for Scotland in this one. But let's hear what you made of the first half. Talk to us while you're watching the game. We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, a lot of news over the weekend, certainly. On Saturday, we found out that five players have been released, five players that have played a big part for Rangers over the past few seasons, the likes of Ryan Jack, who's in the Scotland squad, John Lundstrom, Kemar Roofe, amongst others as well. There's that new deal for Leon Balogun, and today Rangers revealing the news that Oscar Cortez is not only joining on loan for next season, but will join on a permanent basis in 2025 on a four-year deal. Celtic fans, that pursuit of Adam Ida and Paulo Bernardo potentially coming back on a permanent basis. What are you making of that as well? 0141 951 1025. I do want to hear your thoughts on this Scotland game so far. That was the one interesting thing to start off with, Cammy, was the fact that Steve Clarke has decided to change the shape for this one.
Yeah, interesting. Again, this is a little bit of an experiment. He's not experimenting too much. He'll just want to try out a different formation. He'll know that he's going to have a lot of the ball. Again, personnel-wise, he's got McCrory in there, James Forrest in there, Shanklin's obviously starting up top, Hanley was back in. So again, it is a little bit of an experiment, but he won't want it to be too much because they've got to get goals, they've got to get a victory here to bring confidence back to the team.
I was being humorous at the start when I said those who are given to hysteria will get excited about this. But, you know, Cammy's right. We can't come off after 90 minutes and it's still 0-0. It just, the optics, as we say nowadays, would not look good.
Well, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And as if you needed any more motivation to call in tonight. How about this? Everyone that calls into the show and gets on air tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets with club badges to Unite Scotland's Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on the 22nd of June. It's a 7-race card, including a feature race, the £50,000 listed Unite Scotland Lando Burns Filly Stakes. And Martin Kemp will have his Back to the 80s DJ set for the after race party at night. So if you call and get on air and make a point, then you will be in the draw for that. Not bad at all. It's just 5 minutes into the second half, they're having a couple of chances for Scotland, maybe just a break in play for an injury to the Gibraltar goalkeeper at the moment. Well, Lauren Shanklin, the starting striker for this one as well. Is that a pointer at all in terms of whether he is above Shea Adams in the pecking order with Lyndon Dyke's injury, or is it really hard to tell at the moment, but given the fact that Steve Clarke is giving some players game time that maybe need it as well elsewhere in the team.
Yeah, I think it is difficult to tell. I think he would always play some part in the next, obviously today and in Friday night's friendly against Finland. So Adams will play as well. I think Steve Clarke as well looks at them. There's two completely different strikers, so the opposition that we will face in Euros, that could depend on what type of striker we use and we play. Again, Adams is probably a striker who's going to work the channels against the teams that we're maybe not going to have as much of the ball of. Whereas tonight, you were expected us to really dominate the ball, which we have done, and it would give Shankland a number of opportunities. He's had a couple of chances, I would say probably half chances, no real clear-cut ones so far. But yes, it's about getting game time for these guys and getting them together, but ultimately they do need to get a victory out of this game.
He ballooned it over the bar. Cammy's being kind. He had a chance and he ballooned it over the bar. But you can't go over the preparatory nature of these games. I mean, Steve Clarke, no matter what happens tonight, will not read very much into it. But as I say, if it were to finish 0-0, then we'd have to come clean and say that the chance taking was poor.
That striking position has got a lot more interesting over the weekend for bad reasons. We found out the news that Lyndon Dykes won't be fit for Euro 2024. An awkward landing it was in training that Steve Clarke said just went over his ankle, landed badly on his ankle. The scans came back. It means that Lyndon Dykes won't be going to Euro 2024. How do you see Steve Clarke dealing with this? He was asked about it yesterday and he said he was going to take 2 or 3 days to mull over it and have a look at his options. We know that Scotland have Lauren Shankland. We know Scotland have Shea Adams as well. There is Ben Doak, who's not actually on the bench tonight, but is expected to be fit enough to play some part against Finland on Friday. He can play, of course, through the middle, but is more traditionally a winger. Would you expect Steve Clarke to try and draft someone else in that position?
Yeah, I think between now and Friday, certainly I think he would bring somebody into the squad to give them the opportunity and see how they fit in the squad as well. So I just think it's a little bit light with us going over to Germany for the period that we could be in the tournament with just two out-and-out strikers. As I say, you said Ben Doak can play through the middle. Of course he can, but it's not his natural position. He's a very young kid as well, so I think it would be really unfair to him to put so much pressure on him playing him out of position. So you're really relying on Shankland and Adams, and that's saying none of them get injured within the campaign as well. So I think he's got to bring somebody into the squad and see how they fit around the guys and how they do at this level, because it's going to be somebody who's probably not been in the squad before as well.
I think it's revealing that he's asked for 2 or 3 days to think about it, because he clearly doesn't have a replacement off the bat. He's wanting time to think about this. I've read all manner of names, from Ross Stewart, Simon Murray even got a mention somewhere this morning. So he's doing the right thing by taking time to mull it over.
Clarke also mentioned that Lyndon Dykes has been a pivotal part of what he's done at Scotland over the last few years. He's maybe not the most prolific striker in the world, but what he does offer is being able to occupy defenders. He's a big physical presence. He can bring others into play as well. Steve Clarke said there's not really a like-for-like replacement. He said he's not really a fan of that train of thought of there being like-for-like players anyway, but is there really anyone out there that can offer the qualities or similar qualities that Lyndon Dykes has?
I agree with Steve Clarke. I think there's nobody out there at this moment in time that can offer the qualities that Lyndon Dyke does, and the experience that Lyndon Dyke brings to the Scotland team as well. He's been there and done it for so long now for Scotland. He understands what Steve Clarke wants from his striker, the work rate, again, getting his team up the pitch when we're under pressure. I don't see anyone out there that's like that. But again, it creates an opportunity for somebody who might come in as a surprise. I don't know. I look at the names that are out there, obviously. One that kind of floats about with me is Ryan Hardy. He's done really well down south. He's a young kid. He works really hard. He's a good size as well. Listen, it's going to be a massive step for whoever comes into the squad, because they've not been in it before. But it's an opportunity, and I think Steve Clarke will bring somebody into the squad. I'd be very surprised if we don't get an announcement tonight or tomorrow that somebody else is coming to join the group straight away.
Could you see it being someone completely out of the blue that hasn't been in Scotland squads like Ryan Hardy?
But who would it be then? Name a name who you think that possibly
but
could come.
But there's maybe a possibility that Steve Clarke doesn't bring anyone in as well.
Absolutely, but I just think he's leaving his silk short with just two strikers then. And I know what we're saying, that other players can play up top. You could even say Ryan Christie could probably play as a striker or that type of role. But I think you're looking at an out-and-out striker if one of these guys gets injured in the campaign, then we're really short then, and you're relying on one person.
I think a Ryan Hardy, or with the greatest respect to Simon Murray, who's had a terrific season for Ross County, it's just not going to be someone like that. It's more likely to be Tommy Conway from the under-21s.
Yeah, he was asked yesterday about, you know, because he'd initially said about standby players and said his standby squad was going to be Scott Gamel's under-21 squad, mm-hmm. who are also in action tonight as well. But when he was asked specifically about that yesterday, he said it wouldn't necessarily be an under-21 player that he would look at for that role. So is there maybe also an option that if they don't bring someone in, it's just one less tough conversation to have with a player that's already in the squad, and then only one of the now 27 would miss out?
Yes, but I don't think Steve Clarke will shy away from tough conversations if he needs to have them. He thinks that's what's best for Scotland to get in, results in Germany and to progress in the tournament. I really don't think that'll play part in his mind. He will look at the squad. I'm pretty sure he will bring somebody in to come into training between now and Friday to give them the opportunity again, just to see how they fit in the group, because he's very big on people who are in the environment and the camp at the moment. So, I don't think he'll shy away from the conversation if he needs to have one. I've just got the fear that if we don't take another striker, we could leave ourselves short for options.
Well, let's hear from you. 01419511025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on this Scotland game, this performance so far, about 55 minutes in to the game in Faro at the moment, 0-0 between Scotland and Gibraltar. And remember, everyone that calls in and gets on air tonight goes into the draw to win a pair of tickets with club badges to the Unite Scotland Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on the 22nd of June. So why wouldn't you want to call in? 0141 951 1025. With that news of Lyndon Dykes and all the players being on the training ground, seeing him stretchered off, seeing what happened, do you think that they will approach this week differently at all? Will there just naturally be more caution?
No, I don't think so. I mean, Cammy knows better than I, but I mean, if you try and approach things cautiously, you're an even greater risk of injury, I
suppose. Maybe even subconsciously it could happen, though, if, you know, there is that fear that you might end up,
I think,
you know,
when you're always away, and I've been there myself in Scotland duty, I think everyone's cautious of going into tackles and stuff in training, and there's nothing silly happens like that. But again, as Lyndon Dykes' injury, it seems to have just been a land in the way that it's happened. That can happen at any opportunity and in any point. So I don't think they'll approach it any differently, because they know they need to get up to speed. They know they've got a huge, huge game coming up on the 14th. And the whole country is looking forward to that. So I think you need to train the way you would play.
Big chance for Scotland yes. here. And Scotland have taken the lead in Faro against Gibraltar, and it fell to Ryan Christie, who is playing sort of on the right wing in this game in a 4-2-3-1, a bit more of an advanced role than he's been playing for Bournemouth this season. But he's managed to get in there at the back post. They kind of got caught under the feet of Lauren Shankland at first, didn't it? But they managed to get it out, and Ryan Christie's lashed it into the top corner to give Scotland a lead.
That might open the dam, because, you know, we've had countless chances, and finally, with 58 minutes gone, we've taken one. As I say, the optics would have been horrible had we failed to score against the second worst ranked team in Europe. But that will calm everything down now, I'm quite sure. And, you know, it will also intensify the debate. It's Ryan Christie, it's not Shankland. It will intensify the debate about getting in another natural striker, because, as Cammy says, two is not enough.
When there are those question marks as well over the striking position and whether the players are there to get the goals, what is good is to see other players getting in on the act and scoring. We know John McGinn can do it. We know Scott McTominay can do it as well. If we've got other players around the squad like Ryan Christie who can chip in with goals, that'll be something that Steve Clarke will really be happy about.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't think we as a nation rely on our strikers to score all our goals. And you look at the squad at the moment, it's McGinn, McTominay, Ryan Christie. They all chip in with goals. Yes, our strikers chip in with a few goals, but they're not our main threat. But that's, again, the person that potentially might come in as the third striker. We won't be relying on them for goals, but it's the way they play, the way Steve Clarke wants them to play, to bring in all these other players to get in advanced positions. So that's really important as well. But it was a really good goal, and that opportunity there has happened two or three times in this game, and we've just not taken it. Where it was a dink ball from Andy Robertson into the back post, and Christie done really well. A decent touch. Shanklin was kind of in his way, and then he's just whipped it into the top corner, and a brilliant finish. And as you said, hopefully this opens the floodgates.
Yeah, even in the last minute or so since that goal went in, you can see Scotland maybe just moving the ball about with a bit more urgency. It just gives the players a bit more hope that, you know, that there are goals there, and they certainly can get a few more maybe before full time.
Yeah, I mean, the quality of the opposition is low, and we ought to be capable of doing far better than a 1-0 against Gibraltar. I just get the feeling the last half hour, the pace will accelerate and further goals will come.
What will this do for Ross McCrory as well? Because he's been drafted and he's been in squads before, but he's never been capped. Getting this cap now, being trusted to go in as the starting right back as it is in this game, that will give him a bit of confidence, won't it, going into the Finland game, whether he starts or not, that he'll feel that he is now a proper part of this squad and could make an impact if needed.
Absolutely, and I think he'll look at tonight and he'll be absolutely delighted to get the game first and foremost, and he's done fairly well. He's not been tested going back the pitch, but going forward he's got up and down that line, that right wing, as we would expect him to do. He's got decent quality as well. He's physically built to go up and down that side, so he can do it all game, and I think this will just give him a little bit of a glimpse of hope that he potentially could get the nod going into these games in Germany, because that position, that right hand side, is definitely open for somebody to go and grab it because of the injuries that we've got down that side. So yeah, listen, it's great to see him on the pitch and great to see him getting a game, and hopefully he can take confidence from this.
Will there be a bit of frustration for Ben Doak that he's just not ready enough for this game? You'd expect that he will be ready for the game on Friday and he'll be hoping to make his debut then, but he'll have hoped, if he was going to make his Scotland debut, that, you know, he would have been able to get it as early as possible before the tournament if he's going to be going with Scotland.
Yeah, but I don't think frustration comes into it when he hasn't played a game since December. You know, too much has been made of Ben Doak for me. I have absolutely no doubt that he is going to be a major player for Scotland in the future.
I don't think many people are expecting him to go to Germany and start games and have a big impact. What you hear about him really is people saying that he maybe offers something different. Yeah. He's got that blistering pace that maybe we don't have elsewhere in the squad. It could help at the end of a game. I don't think anyone's expecting him to go to Germany and be the, you know, the player that's going to make the difference.
Well, you know, Steve Clarke had to reference it this morning in his newspaper quotes, where he said that you know, he didn't want things to be about Ben Doak. He hasn't played for 6 months. He hasn't played for the full international team ever, and you know, he will have to be treated with kid gloves. I mean, he certainly won't feature against Germany. And we'll see what happens thereafter. But, you know, as I say, if it was any other player who had not played for half a year, would we be making a case for him coming in a fortnight?
I just think it's a real excitement about him, though. He's a young talent. Listen, it would have been brilliant to see him in a game like this, because Scotland have got the ball so much. He's so direct. He likes the ball on his feet to take players on. And for me, he does offer something different from anybody else in the Scotland squad. I think there's just that expectation and excitement from, because we know he's so good, and it has been a shame that his injuries came at this time, but he's played with Liverpool first team, which is an unbelievable standard to be playing at, and he's held his own there as well. So yeah, I think it's just a bit of excitement from the Scotland fans as well, and hope that he can go there to Germany and have an impact on the games as well.
Well, 63 and a half minutes on the clock in Faro. It's Gibraltar 0, Scotland 1. Ryan Christie with the goal, and despite the fact the game's on, we still want to hear from you. 01419511025. Maybe his thoughts about this game, general thoughts about the Scotland squad and Euro 2024, maybe the fact that Lyndon Dykes isn't there. What do you think of those striking options? Do Scotland need to bring someone in? If so, who should be drafted into that Scotland squad? Rangers fans, a lot of news over the weekend, of course. Oscar Cortes is extending his stay at Ibrox. 5 players released over the weekend. Leon Balogun, not one of them, though. He's extended his deal for another year. Celtic, of course, continuing their pursuit of Adam Ida and Paulo Bernardo on permanent deals. And, of course, if you get on air tonight and speak to us, make a point, you will be in the draw to win a pair of tickets with club badges to the Unite Scotland Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We want you to join us as well. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on this game between Gibraltar and Scotland in Faro, the first of the pre-Euro 2024 warm-up games. It's currently Gibraltar 0, Scotland 1 after 70 minutes. A goal in the second half for Ryan Christie means that Steve Clark's side have the lead. There was a double substitution during the break. It means that, who were the two that went off? It was
Forrest
and Robertson went off for Tierney and Shea Adams. There was a bit of a hairy moment where Kieran Tierney went down holding his ankle, but he's fine, he's up, he's moving about, and interesting to see how Adams and Shankland work together for the next 20 minutes if Shankland also stays in the pitch for the rest of that time.
Yeah, I think it just gives us a different option for certainly going into Germany. Them two have played together if we need them. It would probably be if we were chasing the game. I don't really see Steve Clark starting with two strikers at any point. But yeah, it's good to see two up top, and John McGinn looks as if he's just kind of went to the right hand side. The midfield four that are in there between McLean, McGinn, Christie and Gilmore can kind of all switch different positions. They can rotate round about that. But yeah, it looks as if McGinn's went over the right, and it's good to see two up top and see how they work together.
This is the type of game that strikers will be desperate to try and get themselves in the score sheet. I'm sure Lauren Shankland, when he knew he was in the starting lineup, would have hoped that he would have maybe been able to bag a couple. He has had some chances, maybe not the most clear-cut chances, but certainly he's been in some decent areas.
Well, as I say, you're trying to keep a sense of perspective, but at the same time trying to remember that it's 11 days until we play Germany in the Allianz Arena. And 1-0 against Gibraltar is not uplifting. It's not inspiring. And the goal has been scored by Christie. And, you know, Shankland and Adams would love to get their name onto the goal-scoring list. But at the moment, as I say, it's okay, but it's not inspiring.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. Gary is in South Queensferry. Gary, what have you made of the game? Have you been watching?
No, I've not been watching. I've just been flicking and then just come on to this just now. But I just wanted to ask the guys what their thoughts. So Steve Clark's 28 squad, there's only 10 of them that actually play in the Scottish Premier League. And I just wondered if they think that's just a lack of young talent managing to actually break through into the, you know, the actual first teams of the Premier League.
First of all, 65% of the Premiership here is made up of players who are not Scottish. So that creates its own complication. Ben Doak, to be fair, was a Celtic player who elected to further his career at Liverpool. Players are coming through, but it's early stages yet, and you know, I can't think of anyone. Well, you know, a Lennon Miller, for example, a David Watson at Kilmarnock, they are undoubtedly for the future, but they're not for the present.
Yeah, Gary, is it down to a lack of opportunities, or maybe is it just a case that players that have been given opportunities and have proven to be good in the Scottish Premiership have then gone on to get moves elsewhere? You look through the squad, Kieran Tierney, of course, is at Arsenal, on loan at Real Sociedad, but made his breakthrough at Celtic, was very impressive up here, and then moved on to further his career. Ryan Porteous, another one at Hibs, he's now gone down south to Watford. Scott McKenna is exactly the same. So a lot of the players, you know, John McGinn, Ryan Christie, Stuart Armstrong, Billy Gilmore, you know, obviously moved at a younger age. So a lot of the players have been given opportunities in Scotland, but is it maybe just more to do with the fact that clubs haven't been able to hold on to them, and the lure of English football or money elsewhere is quite a lot?
Well, we've always had good goalkeepers. I mean, we've got four good goalkeepers there just now. But again, we just, you know, losing Dykes and stuff up front, we just lack so much. And I'm just stuffed. I think the game against Germany, I mean, it's going to be 11 behind the ball all the time. I just don't think we're going to get anything out of the three games. I hope I'm proved wrong, but
you don't think we're going to get anything out of the three games, Gary?
Come on, Gary.
I mean, we're struggling against Gibraltar just now.
I mean, Scotland are struggling really against Gibraltar. Not scoring, not taking chances, but it has been all Scotland so far in this game. Have created plenty of chances, just not taking them. But does, you know, the fact that it's only 1-0 after 70 odd minutes, does that not give you the confidence heading into games against the likes of Hungary and Switzerland?
With Hungary and Switzerland, again, if we could get something out of it, I mean, if we could manage to come in third place somehow, and then hopefully results later on might get us through, but fingers crossed anyway, we're there, that's the main thing.
Before we shoot Gary down, you know, the Euro 2020 competition played in 2021 because of COVID, we got one goal, 1 point and out. So, you know, there's no point in getting hysterical. You know, if Scotland had their strongest possible team, if Stevie Clark had everyone to choose from, it would still be backed to the wall against Germany in the opening ceremony.
I wonder, were there mitigating circumstances with Euro 2020 that Scotland hadn't been at a major tournament for 22 years? None of these players had any major tournament experience. A lot of the squad now do have major tournament experience. They're all, you know, 3 years further down the line in their international journey. Will they be better equipped this time round than they were at the last Euros?
I don't see that is an important factor in all. We just didn't play well in Euro 2020, played in 21.
Do you think that would make a difference, Cammy? Players having, you know, now had the taste of a major tournament. Yes, this one's different because it's, you know, that the normal setup of being set in one country and all that type of thing. But can players benefit from having previous tournament experience?
Yes, but I think they can benefit from being a squad together and being together for so long and getting to know how the manager wants to play, how he thinks they can get results. So I think that's the biggest benefit, that they've been a squad together for a long period of time. There's very few players in this squad that they haven't been there for the last couple of years. So it's great that they've been together and they've progressed. You can't read too much into this game. There's, as I said, it's the first game back. A lot of players have been away on their holidays, had a little bit of downtime, so they're just getting back into the swings of things. I know it's 11 days before the game, so I understand it's very close. But yeah, this is all about getting time in the legs. I think Friday night's more important. I think Friday night will be the one where they need to lift the tempo. They need to be playing at the pace they know they have to play in Germany, against Germany, to get any sort of result. But yeah, again, you look at the squad as well. We've got a number of players that probably are our starters that aren't playing tonight. So it's about getting game time. But going back to Gary's point as well, listen, I probably look at the Scotland team's starting team, I would probably say there's only potentially two players that will play in Scotland that will start, and that would be Shankland if he starts up front, and probably Callum McGregor. And again, that just shows you where you are. But I don't take that as a negative. I take that as a positive, that all these guys, you look at them, there's a lot of top English Premier League players that we've got in our starting team now. So that's a positive for me.
About Lyndon Dykes and his injury. Liam Cooper, who came on as a half-time substitute for Grant Hanley, was down for quite a while there, was getting medical attention, and has now had to limp off with around 13 minutes to go. Scott McKenna has come on as his replacement. He did look quite uncomfortable, Cooper.
He looked in pain.
It was an impact, though. Again, the positive thing coming out of this was it was two players that clashed knees together. So you're just hoping it's a bang and they're not taking any chances and getting them off to ice it. And it's nothing serious, because that would be another blow to our squad.
Well, thank you to Gary. Let's stick with the phones. And Chris is in Hamilton. What have you got for us tonight, Chris?
Well, this is my opinion tonight. I think we're just luring the Germans into a false sense of
security. Yeah. I like it.
We're going to pounce on them next week. We'll be ready. I've no fears.
Just, are you feeling confident then?
I'm always confident. There's no point going in being doom and gloom and expecting a loss. I'm always going to try and expect the best.
But you have to introduce realism. As I say, if we had our strongest possible team, if we beat Germany in the opening ceremony of a major competition being held in Germany, it would be, without doubt, the greatest result we have ever achieved over 90 minutes. That's how big it is. And at the moment, we've been beset by injuries. We must be realistic. It's going to be an extremely difficult night against Germany at the Allianz Arena.
Chris, what did you make of the starting lineup for this game and the way the game's unfolded so far?
It's not been great. The starting lineup's fine. It's just the players are going through their motions. Some of them have been off Scottish Cup finals last week, etc. They'll get, they're just getting into the rhythm. But the only thing I want to make a point, just remember 2004, Greece beat Portugal. In Portugal, they beat Portugal that night, and then they beat them in the final. I'm not saying we're going to do that.
Look, shocks can happen. Shocks can happen.
You never know. Even a draw would be a shock.
Well, I'm not ruling out anything, but I'm saying that we, against Germany in the opening game, are about hope rather than expectation.
Chris, what did you make of the news over the weekend that Lyndon Dykes isn't going to be available for Euro 2024? And how do you see that unfolding over the next week? Do you think there will be a replacement brought in that area of the park?
No, there's definitely got to be. I think the only option you've really got is, Tommy Conway,
yep.
He's the only option. He's been scoring goals for Bristol. He's scored a couple of big ones in the FA Cup. He's the only option, really, that Clark's got, unless he's already doing Alvini's holiday or something, we don't know. But
no, he's with the under-21 squad at the moment. They've got a game tonight, so he's certainly, you know, available. I do think that if there was any player that was going to be drafted in, that whether they're on holiday or not, they'd maybe be cutting that short to come back. Does he seem like the most realistic option, Cammy?
Yeah, he probably does. And again, Steve Clark's probably had conversations, he will have had conversations behind the scenes with his staff, and again with under 21 staff, and probably just allowing him to play that game tonight to get him some game time in, and then they'll maybe draft him into the group to try and get some training sessions and see how he fits. As I say, it's big with Steve Clark how they fit in the environment that he creates. So yeah, I definitely think he's going to bring somebody in to give them the opportunity between now and Friday to stake a claim of getting the squad. And I just feel as if we need another option up front, because you've seen it in this game. There's been obviously a couple of knocks and everyone's got the fear as soon as you see somebody lying on the floor. So if Lauren Shanklin ends up injured, touch wood he doesn't, in the first game at Germany, we're really, really short then. So I just think it would make sense if he brings another striker in for an option.
Yeah, 12 goals in all competitions this season for Tommy Conway, yeah, playing for Bristol City in the English Championship. Just 21 years old, hasn't been called up to the squad, but certainly highly thought of by Scott Gemmell and the under-21 setup.
Maybe it is best not to overthink it. Maybe Tommy Conway is just the natural person to come in, and Stevie Clark will just give himself time to work that out for himself. But he, for me, would be ahead of any other name that I've heard so far.
Well, thank you to Chris and to Gary as well. That means they are in the hat now to win a pair of tickets with club badges to Unite Scotland Summer Race Day at Ayr Racecourse on the 22nd of June. So if you want to be in the hat for that, make sure to give us a call. And if you get on air, then you will be in the draw for that. It is, 8 minutes to go between Gibraltar and Scotland. Still 1-0 to Scotland, Ryan Christie's goal. So we'll bring you full time in that game next. But before that, let me tell you about this.
Clyde One. Win $250,000.
Yes, well, after Nick won £250,000 on Friday, we've got another chance for you to win £250,000 right now. That's right, this Friday, we'll be making another call and someone will win that cash. So if you want it to be you, then you need to get involved. Entry reset after Nick won, so it's a whole new competition now. Get your place in the draw now and you could be winning £250,000. Text YES to 61025. Text are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at clyde1.com. Online entries are £2, or call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. Over 18s only. All the rules for this network competition are on our website. When entry lines shut at 5 o'clock this Friday, we could be calling you. If we do, just answer and £250,000 is yours. There's no phrase, there's no amount to remember. All you need to do is pick up and that is it. So text YES to 61025 for your chance to win £250,000.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. And good news during the break, Scotland have doubled their lead in Faro. It's Gibraltar 0, Scotland 2, and a Shea Adams goal. It was a nice ball in from the left by John McGinn to the back post, and a really nice first time volley finish by Shea Adams, who came off the bench a bit earlier, to make it 2-0 to Scotland. A really nice goal.
Yeah, terrific. I said that what had gone before had not been uplifting or particularly inspiring. That was a terrific ball from McGinn and a superlative finish from Adams. So there is the uplifting moment. It doesn't mean that everything's all right now and Germany are quaking in their boots, but 2-0 is better than 1-0, and that was an honest-to-goodness, terrific goal, well-conceived, well-finished.
Yeah, that's the type of thing every striker will want heading into a major tournament, to get yourself on the score sheet.
Yeah, absolutely, and it was, as described there, it was a brilliant ball in from John McGinn. Adams just found the space at the back post, was unmarked, but it was all about the execution. He's finished, brilliant strike into the top corner, and exactly what he'll want, coming on for that sort of 30 minutes that he's been on the pitch and get a goal. And but I said it before the game, I wouldn't read too much into this game. 2-0 sounds okay, do you know what I mean? It's not too bad. It's about getting players on the pitch, not getting any injuries. Hopefully Liam Cooper's one's just a knock and a bang. Just slowly getting up to speed and getting the players back into the rhythm of things. And as I say, I think Friday's where you ramp it up another gear.
Yeah, how different do you think things will be on Friday in terms of team selection, the team shape as well? Maybe the intensity will go up because it's essentially the send-off game at Hampden.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be mindful of the fact that it's your last game before you play Germany. You have to send the fans home with some degree of optimism. You have to have optimism on the part of the manager when he sees how the team have played individually and collectively. It's an important game. This has been okay, preparatory, played in Faro, a touch of the holiday atmosphere about it all with the fans there. It's been okay, and we did win, and you know, both goals were good goals, particularly the second one. But on Friday, you have to be getting down to business.
Friday is completely different for me. Again, it's 1 week away from the tournament, so as a player, you like to play week on week. So again, you're getting into that rhythm. You know that you're playing on the Friday night. You've got a full week's build-up, recovery build-up towards your big game in Germany. I think you've got to be at it on Friday. I think Steve Clarke will take Friday's game very, very seriously. I think it'll be as close to his starting team as he probably thinks he knows.
Yeah, I think we'll get a lot of hints, basically, on the lineup.
Yep. I don't think there'll be many surprises out there on Friday night. I think it'll be as close to his team as he can, depending on fitness-wise for players. And I think he'll be looking for a real intensity. The crowd's there as well. So, again, this is more like a training game. It's a bit flat. There's not many people in the stadium. It's over, and as Hugh says, it's a holiday destination. It feels a bit like a training game. But listen, we've got through it. We've done okay. Hopefully no serious injuries, and we move on to Friday.
Yeah, the game just wrapping up now. 4 minutes were added to the 90. We are almost 2 minutes into that as well. So if you have any thoughts about the Scotland game, what you've seen today, team selection, possible replacements for Lyndon Dykes, give us a call, 01419511025. But of course, if you've got any thoughts on domestic matters, we want to hear those as well. David is a Rangers fan in Barrhead. How are you, David?
I'm good, guys, I'm good. Yourself?
Yes, all good, all good. What are you thinking about your club at the moment?
I'm just thinking this Cortez thing. I'm hoping that Rangers have, in the contract, the guy's came, he's played 7 games, he's looked like a good possibility, but that's all. He's had a serious injury. I'm hoping that in the contract they've put in that we sign him, but dependent on appearances and dependent on his fitness.
Well, the fact that it's worded as an obligation to buy would suggest that really no matter what happens next season, Rangers will be paying the money to get him next summer. He's already agreed to a 4-year deal, so I don't imagine there is a clause in there.
Yeah. I mean, another thing I was thinking about is that's your lost Jack and Lundstrom. The Old Firm final, I thought Raskin finally got a chance to play, and he's a quality player, and surely he could be a stand-in as in the role that those two play, a holding midfielder. I mean, he's a Dutch internationalist. He's a quality player.
Belgian.
And I just don't think. I just don't think he's had a chance under Clement, and I'm hoping that he gets a chance on the park.
Yeah, we'll take the Oscar Cortez point first, and then we'll move on to Nicholas Raskin. What did you make of the news, Cammy, that Oscar Cortez not only back at Ibrox for another season, a full season loan, but Rangers will be buying him and will be giving him a 4-year deal next summer?
Yeah, again, listen, it's positive news. It's another player in. Hopefully he'll be back to his full fitness. I was quite impressed with him when he was here. Just didn't get enough game time, didn't get into the rhythm the way that Rangers wanted him to play, and obviously got that injury. But yeah, I think it's a positive one if they can get the best out of him. And obviously the manager's seen him day to day and knows what type of person he is, what type of player he is in training. And it's just purely on that injury that he had. I think it's good to get the business done early. Hopefully he's back fit by the start of the season and up and running, because he's a good young talent, and that's what Rangers will be looking at. He's looking at his age and the potential that he's got, but I think he can fill that potential pretty quickly as well. He showed that in glimpses when he was fit.
Will there be a natural concern for Rangers fans just about injuries and fitness, because he missed a big chunk of the second half of last season? He doesn't really have a history of injury problems. No. Before that season, it looked as if it was just a kind of one-off, but you can never tell really what a player's going to be like going forward and whether injury problems might crop up or be consistent.
Well, of course, look at Yanis Hadji, for example. But I think Cortez is a good player, and assuming that all is well, he will have a contribution to make next season, and the contract says obligation to buy. They have to buy him at the end of next season. But I'd be okay with him. As for Raskin, I don't think he did enough to impress Philippe Clement, because he faded from view. He's obviously a player, he's a talent, but he didn't do enough for his manager when he came in, and that was with a side that was going nowhere in particular. So he has work to do, but it's impossible to know what Rangers team will look like at the start of next season, because so much is going to have to happen between now and the resumption of the league football in August.
I know he had injury problems of his own at times, but were you surprised that Nicholas Raskin didn't play more of a part for Rangers under Philippe Clement at the beginning of his reign? He played more consistently towards the end of the campaign, I think featured in all four of their final league matches, of course played in the cup final as well. But yep. Did you expect that he'd maybe play a bit more than he has?
Possibly, yeah. Again, I think his injury took him a long time to get over as well and back up to speed. Yes, I probably did expect him to play, but again, we don't see what's happening behind the scenes. We don't see how these players are training. You've got to believe in the manager that he's seen them day in, day out, and he knows who's ready. But yeah, I think he's a talented player. Listen, when he first came to Rangers, I had big hopes for him. I thought he started really well, but then he faded away a little bit as well. I think he can get lost in games where he needs to take control of games. I think he's got that quality that he can do that. I think he can really control games. He's very good in the ball. He can get about the pitch. He's obviously aggressive, likes a tackle. So he's got a lot of really good attributes. It's just been consistent. So again, he's a young player, so we maybe expected too much. But yeah, he really needs to kick on. He needs to kick on under this manager. Or again, it would be one where he would obviously move on from Rangers. So he's got the opportunity. The manager gave him that towards the end of the season, and he needs to build on that at the start of next season.
David, what did you make of the fact that five players were released on Saturday after the end of their contracts, and also the fact that Leon Balogun was given an extension as well?
Got an extension. I think he's been a standout in the defence. I think he's still got pace even at his age. He's a no-nonsense defender who'll give 100%, and I think he's somebody that you can rely on in the central defence. I think the rest of them were... We all knew they were going to go. Kamar is too injury-prone. Jack, still a great player, but again, injury-prone. Lundstrom had been offered and wasn't coming, and he's going to Turkey, blah, blah, blah. But I think the ones that have left so far are the ones that everyone... Could I put a bet on to say they were going to leave? I think there could be more that'll go. I think there's too big a squad that aren't getting games. I think we'll need to move some of them on, that he doesn't rate them as first team players. And I just think we needed a clean out. We needed players who aren't going to be number one choice to go.
Well, thank you to David. He is in the hat for those Air Race Day tickets for the 22nd of June. Every caller that gets on air tonight will be in the hat to win those tonight. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. It has finished in Faro between Gibraltar and Scotland. A 2-0 win for Steve Clark's men. So what did you make of it? What did you like? What did you maybe not like? What about that striking situation with Lyndon Dykes? We want to hear from you. 0141 951 1025. And of course, we want to hear what you're making of domestic matters as well. We'll get back to calls, but first of all, we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Well, what about this? You could do the double. Not only can you win a signed ball, but you could also win Ayr Racecourse tickets as well. You could do the double tonight. So give us a call and you'll take on either Cammy Bell or Hugh Keevans on Beat the Pundit. All you need to do is make sure that you phone before 7 o'clock. 0141 951 1025.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Well, if you're just tuning in and missed the first half of the show, you might not know that Scotland were 2-0 winners over Gibraltar in Faro, the first of two warm-up games this week ahead of Euro 2024. So any thoughts on that? Give us a call, 0141 951 1025. Interestingly, Scotland's under-21s also in action tonight. There's been a bit of talk of Hugh Keevan's phone goes off there. Was that Steve Clark giving you the call to see whether you can replace Lyndon Dykes in the Scotland squad?
It certainly wasn't Steve Clark.
I'm not sure you're quite like for like with Lyndon Dykes.
What about Leslie DiMascio getting over the top there? Scotland laboured to a 2-0 win. She's been hanging around the newsroom with me for too long.
Pessimism's rubbing off, yeah. Is it? Yeah. Well, let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025. Do you agree with that or not? What I was going to say is Tommy Conway is the goal scorer for Scotland's under-21s as they're 2-1 down to Turkey at half time. Maybe some people might think that could be enough to get him into Steve Clarke's squad for Euro 2024 with Lyndon Dykes out. We've heard some thoughts on Rangers signing Oscar Cortez. Anything else that's on your mind, give us a call, 0141 951 1025. But before we get to that, time to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Yeah, actually the same back-to-back combo. Friday night, it was the two of you. Yes. I did see someone tweet asking if we'd just been locked in here over the weekend, but we have been home, thankfully.
Well, I was out last night, so rather Cammy played.
Did you go home last night?
I went home eventually.
No, that's good.
A little bit hazy?
Oh, it was a Sunday night out, you know, but it was a wonderful, wonderful party to celebrate a friend's wedding, and saw a lot of old football faces there that you'd know.
Lovely.
Yeah, Gary McAllister.
Oh.
Jim Leishman.
Oft.
Neil Lennon. John Hughes. Yogi.
Endless.
Yeah.
Just dropping all those names. Ryan, do you think you could maybe catch Hugh Keevans out of form then?
100%.
There we go.
Good man.
Go on, Ryan.
Have you played before?
Hey, it was about 2 years ago, was it last time?
Did you win?
It was Marvin. I was playing. I beat 5-4.
Oof, good standard.
Right, okay. Let's see if it's as high scoring.
I'm looking for a bit of high score tonight.
Right, who would you rather, Cammy or Hugh?
Any, I don't mind.
Okay, either, doesn't mind. Right, it will be heads for Hugh Keevans, tails for Cammy Bell. And it's heads, Hugh Keevans.
Hugh
will be playing, so we will give him some greatest hits radio in his ear. I've had the nod from Hugh Keevans, it means he can't hear us. Ryan, you've played before, but I will go over the rules again. 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. And remember, you can pass as well if you're struggling to give yourself a bit more time. Does that sound good?
Yeah, on you.
Right, let's do it. Oscar Cortez has extended his loan to Rangers from which side?
Lens.
Which group are Scotland in for Euro 2024?
E.
Name either scorer in the Champions League final.
Vinicius Jr.
Who replaced Brendan Rodgers as manager of Liverpool?
Pass.
Who scored a hat-trick the last time Scotland faced Gibraltar?
Shea Adams.
Name any player to have left Rangers following the expiry of their contract on
Ryan
Saturday.
Jack.
Sorry, what was that?
Ryan Jack.
There we go. Right, okay. Hugh, can you hear us? Hugh, have we got you?
You've got me, Stevie Nicks, Fleetwood Mac. But I've decided to come back to you.
Good stuff. We will test just how fit you are.
Yes.
Now, right, let's see how this goes. 30 seconds on the clock. Let's do it. Oscar Cortez has extended his loan to Rangers from which side?
Longs.
Which group are Scotland in Euro 2024?
H.
Name either scorer in the Champions League final.
Vinicius Jr.
Who replaced Brendan Rodgers as manager of Liverpool?
Pass.
Who scored a hat-trick the last time Scotland faced Gibraltar?
Pass.
Name any player to have left Rangers following the expiry of their contract on Saturday.
Lindstrom.
who has more Celtic goals, Kyogo or Odson-Edward?
Ooh, Kyogo.
Right, how do you think that went, Ryan?
I think you may have just put me in the last.
Okay, we'll see how tight or otherwise it is. Oscar Cortez has extended his loan to Rangers from which side? You both said Longs. You are both correct. One all. Which group are Scotland in for Euro 2024? Do you know this one, Cammy?
I thought G.
It's Group A.
Is it?
First group. We're with the hosts, Germany. Group A.
Stupid.
So neither of you got it. It is name either scorer in the Champions League final for question three. Ryan said Vinicius Jr. Hugh said something close to Vinicius Jr. But I'll give you that.
Yes,
I should think so. It was close enough, but I'll give you that. Surprised neither of you got this one. Who replaced Brendan Rodgers as manager of Liverpool? The answer's staring you in the face. The most obvious guy.
Well, Cammy Bell staring me in the face, but not him.
Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp, correct. Oh. Neither of you got it, so it remains 2-2. Who scored a hat-trick the last time Scotland faced Gibraltar? Neither of you got it. Do you know this one, Cammy?
No.
Sure, he scored two hat-tricks against them in that qualification campaign. Stephen Fletcher, it was back in 2015. Name any player to have left Rangers following the expiry of their contract. You could have had John Lundstrom, Ryan Jack, Borna Barisic, Kamar Roof and John McLaughlin. You both got one of those five, which means it comes down to the final question that Hugh got to and Ryan didn't.
Oh.
And it was a 50-50. Who has more Celtic goals, Kyogo or Odson-Edward? Hugh went for Kyogo. The answer is Odson-Edward.
Oh, yes.
87 to Kyogo's 73, which means we go to a tiebreaker. Right, I'm going to get Hugh to write his answer down, Ryan. And once he's written his down, I'll get you to say your answer. It is
okay.
How many goals were scored at Euro 2020? How many goals in total were scored at Euro 2020? So Hugh is just writing his down at the moment. Ryan, give us your answer now.
140.
So Hugh has gone for 51. Ryan has gone for 140. And what an answer it is from Ryan. 142
is
the answer. You were only two out, Ryan.
Take it away,
Ryan. An answer. You have won the signed ball. Congratulations. A good way to win it as well, isn't it?
Thanks, buddy.
Very good answer. And of course, he is in the hat for those Ayr race course tickets. As I said earlier on, anyone that gets on here tonight will be in the draw for that. That's a great answer.
Magnificent.
Would you have got close to that, Cammy?
Nah, I would have went less. I would have went probably about 90-ish, I would have thought, but I was nowhere near either.
As good as Ryan's answer was, Hughes was probably as bad because there was about 50-odd games in the tournament, so that would have averaged a goal a game.
Well, you see, I blame my Sunday night out.
is that what it started to hit you?
I blame Gary McAllister and Neil Lennon.
Right, okay. Oh, well. Well done to Ryan, of course, beat the pundit. We'll be back tomorrow night, and we are here for you on whatever you want to talk about, whether it's Scotland's 2-0 win over Gibraltar, goals from Ryan Christie and Shea Adams gave the national side the win in Faro, Scotland's under-21s in action against Turkey. We'll keep you up to date because there's maybe a bit of interest there just in players that could potentially make the step up with Lyndon Dykes out of the Scotland squad. Tommy Conway's got a goal with Scotland under-21s 2-1 down at the time, and of course any domestic matters, give us a call on the same number, 0141 951 1025. Graham is in the East End. Graham, how are you tonight?
Kind of mixed emotions, but first of all, I'm okay, kind of personally, physically, mentally.
Good to hear.
Yeah, I'm okay that way. How's yourself? She's okay, yeah?
Yeah.
Cammy and I are fine. Hugh's flagging a wee bit.
Dehydrated.
Yeah. Hugh's sitting in the fence. Kidding aside, respectfully, I was speaking to Chris, the producer, before he put us on, and we were having a kind of a half laugh, but I think we were actually telling the truth. Did you actually see the game? I know he's in the show.
Yeah, been watching it.
I have no confidence in Scotland whatsoever, and it was a cracker that Hugh mentioned earlier. There's a few points, but I'll try and put them amalgamated into one. Now, the Euros 2020-21, as Hugh rightly said, we took one point. That was a disaster, an absolute disaster. So to touch base on that, I don't think we progressed. In fact, I know we haven't progressed. Stevie Clark, yes, put my hand up, had zero confidence in him, and he gets us to this point playing Germany in opening game. I'm extremely worried about that. But at the same time, we're missing the point here, a massive, massive point. Again, Hugh touched on it. There's been 7 defeats before this game. And can we really, seriously, guys, and everybody else that's listening, can we really celebrate that dull, horrible watch friendly against the second-tier worst team in Europe and go, yeah, guys, that was a great friendly. It was terrible.
I'm not sure there's many people celebrating it, Graham. I think people are just maybe more happy that some players have got some minutes on the pitch that were much needed. Scotland did create some chances, maybe didn't score as many as they would have wanted to, but would you, you know, did you feel that to have a bit of confidence in this squad that Scotland needed to put away a lot more of those chances?
I have no confidence, and I'll be blatantly honest, because I listened to a couple of guys that came in. This is my main point for calling tonight. And they're like, yeah, they're kind of sitting in the fence, this and that, but they're not. I don't think anybody's hit it in the nail yet. Maybe I missed a couple of people, I don't know. That was a hard watch. I know I appreciate that and I respect that. There's a lot of players injured, but it's Gibraltar, come on. I mean, seriously, why? My next point to get into this, why do we not have a stronger opponent? In my opinion, we need that. We do need that.
What do you think I'll put this to Cammy. What do you think the mindset was in setting up these friendlies? Was it a case of the first one was maybe to try and get a confidence boosting win, a game that you could give players game time, and you know you would have hoped the result would have been there anyway, a victory to get back to winning ways, get players playing football, and then ramp it up with a harder opponent later in the week?
Yes, I do believe that would be the mindset and the thought behind the game tonight against Gibraltar. Again, it's an early game back. Players have been on holiday just after the final game of the season for their clubs. So they need to break themselves back in. I've said it before, I wouldn't read too much into that game tonight. It's in a country that's very hot at the moment. The pitch was sticky. I'm not making excuses, but I think that game's all about getting players run out, make sure they're getting a bit of game time, getting them together as a group, and then obviously moving forward to ramp it up on Friday. I would judge them more on Friday because Friday's game will be a lot more difficult. But yeah, listen, you could have, I mean, we've had hard friendlies recently as well. So, and again, we've had obviously a bit of backlash off of that because now there's this whole, we've not won in 7 games. But if you look at the standard of teams that we've played in the last 7 games, they've been very, very strong teams. The disappointing one that's really fresh is the Northern Ireland one, where the players didn't play well at all. And they know that, they didn't perform that night. But the ones before it, periods in the game, the Holland, the Netherlands one for the first 40 minutes of that game, we played really, really well, played some great stuff against a top quality opposition. It's just these fine moments. I don't think we've got an out and out striker that can score goals at the right moments. Shankland might get there with more game time, but I don't think we've got somebody that, and that hurt us in the Netherlands game where we had a couple opportunities. You're only going to get one or two opportunities against these big oppositions, and we never took them, and then you get punished on the end of making a couple of mistakes. So I wouldn't be too concerned about tonight. I know Graham is, I know he's a little bit concerned that just the way that results have been lately, but we're not particularly great in friendlies either. You need to look at that, look at our campaign when we play well, when it means something for us as well. So yeah, I wouldn't read too much in tonight.
Tonight was a glorified training match, but Friday against Finland, we have to see the signs of something going into the game against Germany, which comes 1 week later. We didn't do well the last time out in the Euro finals. I stand by what I said. 1 goal, 1 point and out. We made a great deal of getting a goalless draw at Wembley, and that seemed to satisfy everyone. We flopped in the 2 games at Hampden. So Germany is an outstanding test of everyone's ability and character, because they are the host nation. It's the opening match of the tournament. It would be a major shock if Germany didn't win the match. Certainly within the country itself, the fans would be disgusted if Germany didn't start with a win over Scotland. The measure of our progression from the last European finals will be how we start against Germany and how we progress thereafter. But I think it's okay to be realistic at this particular time, rather than hysterical about we'll do this and we'll do that, because there is nothing to suggest that we'll do this or we'll do that.
there were big changes to the team tonight, Graham. I'm not sure anybody's expecting that Steve Clarke will start with, you know, a lot of those players against Germany, that shape as well. Do you take that into account when looking about, you know, how confident you are in this squad and that performance in particular?
That's a trick question.
In what way? Yes and no.
Well, you're asking if I'm confident in what I've seen tonight in the squad that's been played. I'm not, so that's the answer to that one. If we go into the Finland game with our first, I don't know, 11 and 4 or 5 on the bench, whatever the Euro regulations are, I just need to see fight and hunger and desire from a football squad nation who's done nothing in 22 years. Who's right? We go to that Allianz. Have you, any of you guys been to the Allianz Arena?
No.
No.
I've been twice. And it's one of the most electric atmospheres, I'd say top five in the world, and well-travelled with stadiums. That is a top, top stadia. And as you said rightly, we will be under the cosh. And I'm scared of that. That was my kind of second point to that.
The fact that Scotland have been better in competitive games and friendly, does that not help at all?
No, yes, it does. It does. I'm not contradicting myself, but it does and it doesn't. I think that was a terrible game set up. Gibraltar, I mean, the second lowest in Europe team, rankings. Again, I don't know the fixtures, as you said earlier. I don't know who puts them together. It might just be my opinion. As Hugh says a lot, my opinion. I didn't like what I saw tonight. I'm not going to lie. Finland might be a better test. I'm hoping it's a better test. And also maybe a bigger get together for the team. I didn't see a lot of fight tonight. I know it's a friendly, as Cammy said, but Cammy, you played at the highest level. Would you not want to play a team that would challenge you and put you under pressure, especially going into the Euros? Would you not appreciate that better than the Gibraltar? I'll ask you that one. What do you think of it?
No, Graham, absolutely. I think you've got to challenge yourself. But what I would take into consideration is the friendlies we've had recently. We've played top quality opposition. Again, you look at the teams that we've played over that losing streak. You're disappointed at that Northern Ireland game. Then you look at probably Norway and Georgia are ones that you would expect, where Scotland are now, to win them games, and they've drew them. But you don't expect to beat France. You're not expected to beat Spain. You're not expected to beat England. We're not at that level at the moment. I really do agree. But what I would say is we've had them tests recently, and again there was this negativity starting to come into the squad and around it with the media and stuff. So I think Steve Clarke will have wanted a friendly tonight that almost guaranteed us a win. It can be really sticky, because see, if you don't win that tonight, that absolutely flips, and it can be real negativity can come your way before this tournament. But I think he's put two friendlies in there that he expects his team to win. I fully expect him to want to win the game on... Well, he will want to win it, but I fully expect him to be going out to win that game on Friday night, because you've got to take momentum into Germany, because it's going to be a really difficult game over there.
You want the games to be competitive, and you know you want to try out your squad, but if you then had this week where Scotland were playing against two of the best teams in the world and the results don't go your way, what would that do for the confidence of the players
exactly
going into the Euros?
The national mood would be affected, and there'd be question marks before we even touch down in Germany. So I'm not bothered by what happened against Gibraltar tonight. It was laboured, but that's almost to be expected. I would be bothered if it was laboured against Finland on Friday night, because you're only a week away from the host nation in the opening match of the tournament. But as I say, I think we in this country, when it comes to the national team, need to be realistic. We are not anywhere near as good as we think we are. And there's always this national hysteria. And I repeat, the last time out, major competition.
You say we're not as good as we think we are. I don't know many Scotland fans that think Scotland are world beaters, and well, quite a pessimistic country in general, aren't we?
Well, I keep reading about how many tens of thousands will be in Germany.
Well, that's just people enjoying the occasion, wanting to fly over. We don't get to major tournaments very often, just our second in 22 years. Surely people can want to go over and enjoy the occasion and not think that we're going to hammer teams left, right and centre.
I hope they go out and they have the time of their lives. But we are not, as a football nation, as good as I think some people think we are. And I repeat, the last time out, one goal, 1 point, out.
Well, speaking of going over to Germany, Clyde One Super Scoreboard is going to be live in Germany thanks to UK Debt Expert. UK Debt Expert has helped 250,000 people deal with debt. That's about five times the capacity of Hampden, and 45,000 of those are here in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. I'll set up a teaser for these two after the break.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Scotland 2-0 winners over Gibraltar in that first Euro 2020 warm-up game, I suppose it is. Like Finland on Friday, but Gibraltar it was tonight. Ryan Christie and Shea Adams with the goal. So any thoughts on that, give us a call. 0141 951 1025. We want to hear your thoughts on domestic matters as well, whether it's signings, whether it's just thoughts about the season ahead, what you want to see your team doing over the next few weeks. The same number, 0141 951 1025. And remember, for every caller that gets on air, they'll be in the draw for those Ayr Racecourse race day tickets for later on this summer. Right, let's put you two to the test with this.
The Full Time Teaser with Universal Interiors, approved by Trust the Trader. Kick off your home improvement in style.
Thank you to Andrew and Kevin in Wishaw for this one. I don't know if it was team effort, maybe, putting this one together. Can you name the last eight players to win a top five league title since leaving Celtic or Rangers? So a top five league title, we're talking England, Italy, France, Germany or Spain. Can you name the last eight players to win a top five league title since leaving Celtic or Rangers? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
The confused faces aren't filling me with confidence. All names that you will know. Course, big names.
And of course,
winning league titles.
Yeah.
Big clubs. So you'll be thinking of players that have left Celtic and Rangers, gone on to big clubs, had success.
Right, now.
Come on, Hugh.
Jeremy Frimpong,
yes, correct. Good. He is the most recent, of course. Moved to Bayer Leverkusen, won a Bundesliga title this season. There we go. Maybe you've
what
got the ball
say,
rolling.
England, Italy, France, Spain?
And Germany. Yeah, Jeremy Frimpong, the most recent example of that. You are going back a wee bit as well for them, so don't think immediate.
Oh, we're going back to Paul Lambert?
Not quite. Don't think he won a top five league title after he left Celtic, though, did he?
No.
Okay, you know what? I'll give you some thinking time on that. But you've got Jeremy Frimpong. Can you name the last eight players to win a top five league title? So England, Italy, France, Germany or Spain since leaving Celtic or Rangers? You can get your guesses in at Clyde SSB.
Virgil van Dijk.
There we go. Virgil van Dijk. Liverpool won the Premier League title 2019-2020 season. So there we go. That's a decent enough start. And we'll let you mull that over while we speak to Mark in Cumbernauld. Mark, what did you make of the Scotland game tonight?
Good evening, gents. Hi, I watched the game just as soon as probably you guys did. And I didn't expect much, to be honest with you, that the night. You know, I know that people are a bit down because it wasn't a great performance, even though Scotland had 90% of the ball. But I think you can take maybe this on the side because, you know, hot weather, it's kind of still, not pre-season, but the season's just finished, so it's to try and get players warmed up. But I'm actually calling, and I'm not having a go at Stevie Clark. I think he's done a great job for Scotland with the tools he's had. But I think he's, I've got to be honest, I think they built a team around a big man who obviously doesn't score a lot of goals, Dykes, but he's strong, his presence is strong, he causes problems, he's got good touch and brings others into the game. And he's built his team around that with two attacking fullbacks either side. And he's lost one side of the attacking fullback and he's lost the big striker. And I think his team are kind of struggling a wee bit to try and get it. I think the way he sets his team up, which is the only way he can set up if you want to play that level, I think we're on a bit of height and nothing. And I've got another wee point.
I'll put that to the guys first, then I'll let you come back in. Mark, are Scotland feeling the effects? It's only been one game without Lyndon Dykes, but no sort of right wing back. I suppose the system was different tonight. It was a back four. Ross McCrory played as a right back, but we're used to seeing Aaron Hickey and we're used to seeing Nathan Patterson sort of bomb down that side.
There's no doubt we're going to feel the impact of them injuries because they are top players for us. There are guys at start, Lyndon Dykes, we know what he brings. He doesn't, as Mark said, doesn't bring a lot of goals. Does chip in with a goal now and again, but it's more his link-up play. The way that he plays and occupies defenders to allow our midfielders to go beyond. And then you've got that right-hand side, you've got Hickey and even Patterson, you put that them two in together, they're completely different players from what we've got at our disposal now. So we're going to feel the effects of it when you lose your top players. And again, I don't feel we're a country that we can lose too many top players. So yes, I would say we will feel the effect, but we need to adjust. We need to adjust. And again, as you mentioned, Andrew, that we changed the formation tonight. It was slightly different. It was probably a little bit of an experiment to see how the players handled that. And I probably expect Steve Clark to play a different formation on Friday night.
Steve Clark has gone on record as saying that Lyndon Dykes has attributes which no one else in his squad has. Therefore, he feels as if he's lost someone who... the word irreplaceable is maybe a bit strong, but he's lost someone he would rather have had with him in Germany. But that's football. That's why we lost Hickey, Patterson, Ferguson. These things happen in football, and we were still waiting for word on Liam Cooper, who's gone off injured tonight, that might even be worsening the situation. So we just have to get on with it, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's the job of a manager. That's what they're paid the big bucks for, is that, you know, to find solutions to these questions, Cammy. And, you know, he'll have had a lot more time to mull over the right-back, right-wing-back situation, because he's known Hickey and Patterson have been out for a while, but he's not got long to think about this striking situation.
No, he's not. And again, it was probably the last time that the group were together, he was maybe in hope that one of them two would have made it. So obviously it's not the case. But again, what it allows is opportunities for other players, and he'll be looking for other players to step up. That's the big thing, is he knows what other players can do, and they maybe can't do the exact same as what Lyndon Dykes can do, but can they step up and be really effective for the team? Shankland's a completely different striker, so is Adams. They're all different, all three of them, if you take Lyndon Dykes in that as well. But you're looking for them to step up when they're given the opportunity, and that's a job for Steve Clark as well. He needs to make them believe that they can fit into that team and be successful, and as a group gel them together, and he's got a short period of time to do that. That's why I say tonight was all about getting the legs moving, getting them together, getting a number of players that haven't... There's a lot of players that haven't played a lot of games this season. Jack coming on, Hanley hasn't played a lot of football this season. So it's getting these guys game times, and then, as I said, Friday night's the big one for me. Friday night's when it all should gel together and start to be your really intensity play, and you see the combination plays, and hopefully good performance, good win, and set us up for the Germany game.
What was your next point you wanted to make, Mark?
Really? Oh, there's a lot of guys who've been talking about it before. The players maybe not. They might look at to bring in and replace you, Dykes, or just to freshen it up a wee bit. I mean, if you're playing two pre-season friendlies or two pre-tournament friendlies to get the guys moving. But you've seen most of the players, that team that you put out tonight, I know they were a bit mix and match, but you've seen them all a dozen times, you know. Why, you've got a lot of guys, if everybody talk about the young boy Conway, I believe he scored tonight. I've watched him a couple of times at Bristol City. He's a bit of live wire, he's young, he's full of energy, he's got a bit of pace. And it's the one thing that they lack. He brought in young Ben Doak, who was a player they played for about 5 months, but he's young, energetic, he's got a wee bit of something different, you know. And hopefully you get to see these guys, because I know, as good as Steve Clark has been, he's a very stubborn manager, and he seems to go with what he knows. And I think, you know, you've got nothing to lose in this championship, so you may as well try and blood some young players that potentially could come in and do a job for us. And I think there's no better time to do it than now, you know.
Yeah, because that's it. Whatever option comes in, it's not as if they're going to come in and be that Lyndon Dykes replacement that's going to start against Germany, if Lyndon Dykes was going to start. So there are maybe a few things for Steve Clark to think about in terms of what can they offer that maybe other players on the squad can't, if, you know, he needs something a bit different. Also, we'll need someone that's good around the squad as well. Steve Clark talks about having good characters in his squad. He's very loyal to a lot of his players. He'll want to know that that's going to be a player that's not going to be disruptive, someone that's going to be a good team player and good around the camp since they're going to be together for so long?
Well, Steve Clarke knows that in players like McGinn, Robertson, Tierney, McTominay, he has a central core there who will not allow standards to drop. So he's fine from that perspective. He's also been clever by saying, what's the worst that can happen? We don't make it out of the group stage. Well, as a country, we have never made it out of the group stage in any international tournament, European or world. So he's right in that respect, just to say, well, you know, don't be expecting miracles overnight. So I think he will go for Conway simply because he needs someone, a live wire, as Marcus called him on the line. And he would be the logical choice to go to the under-21s rather than pluck someone out of the air who has never been in an international squad before.
What would you like to see different on Friday, Mark, in terms of team selection or anything like that?
Hey, I think it's going to be a totally different game on Friday, you know, and I know that everybody's a bit downhearted. Even though we won, you know, we're a bit downhearted at the quality of the team we're playing against, but Scotland aren't always going to have the ball, especially in Europe, you know. The amount of possession we had yesterday, that's never going to happen in the tournament coming up. So maybe the game against Finland at home with a big atmosphere, it's going to be a bit more like what we're going to maybe expect, or, well, maybe not as much, but we're going to expect that kind of, you know, Finland are going to have a goal, they've got a decent side. And I think they need to be, I mean, Scotland have been tested, like you said before. You know, we've played Spain, France and England, and we got turned over quite well off them because we're not as good as them. You know, and it's had the stuffing knocked out of us, but maybe the game against Finland, you know, the guys will be a bit lifted, a bit more at home. Give you something to kind of look forward to. But that's just a win. A win would be good, yeah. You know?
Finland sets the mood. You know, yeah. If it's a riveting performance, then great. Everyone's on the plane on Sunday for Germany. If it's something less than riveting, then it creates a different atmosphere. So that game is important. Those 90 minutes are important because they set the mood.
It's a great opportunity that Scotland have in front of them, isn't it? Because you look back to the last Euros, there was, of course, you know, no big send-off because of COVID. We weren't able to have something like that. If you can get a packed Hampden, if you can get, you know, players out on the pitch playing well, you've got that unity, that big send-off to see the players off to Germany. It could be a special moment.
Absolutely, and the players will be looking forward to Friday night. I think they've built it all towards Friday night. They're gearing it so that the Scotland fans can send them off, and the Scotland players know how passionate the fans can be as well. I think Hampden's a different place. As I say, the atmosphere played into that game tonight a little bit as well. We're not being any crowd at all there, really. So you're having to generate your own sort of energy. Whereas Friday night will be packed, everyone will be buzzing because most fans will be there, and then a lot of them will be heading off to Germany themselves. So, yes, it's a massive opportunity. I feel as if it's all geared up towards Friday night. I think Hugh's right. It is really important that we get a lot of positivity out of Friday night and the players go over there feeling really good about the team and their chances to progress out of the group stage, because I do think we do have the quality players to do it, but it's all about just producing it on the big stage.
Well, thank you to Mark. You two need to get a bit of a move on with this teaser. Can you name the last 8 players to win a top 5 league title since leaving Celtic or Rangers? So after leaving Celtic or Rangers, they won a league title in the top league in either England, Italy, France, Germany or Spain. Or more than one, potentially, in a couple of cases. You so far have Virgil van Dijk, of course, won it with Liverpool, Jeremy Frimpong with Bayer Leverkusen this season.
How far back are we going?
Quite far back. We are looking at essentially sort of the turn of the millennium. Give you the same hints as before. Big names, going to big teams.
Loudrup,
no.
Larsson?
Henrik Larsson, yes. Won 2 league titles with Barcelona and then had that loan spell at Manchester United as well, where he won a Premier League title in the 2006-07 season. So Larsson, Virgil van Dijk, Jeremy Frimpong. Take one more guess.
Van Bronckhorst, no?
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, there you go. He is another one that won league titles with 2 different teams, Arsenal in the 2001-2002 season, and then a couple of league titles with Barcelona. So I'll let you mull over that while I tell you about this, because Clyde One Super Scoreboard's Roger Hanna and Stephen Mill are getting ready for Germany with a new podcast, Euro Stories with the Scottish Sun. They'll be speaking to Scotland players that have played at previous tournaments in 1992, 1996 and 2020 as well. Episode 1 is available now as the guys speak to Motherwell fullback Stephen O'Donnell, who incidentally signed a new 2-year deal with Motherwell today as well. Of course, he was speaking about their experiences in Euro 2020, and to celebrate the release of this fantastic 6-part series, we're giving you the chance to win an amazing prize worth over £1,600. We have a fantastic electric oven and barbecue, rock and roll outdoor chairs, a state-of-the-art projector as well to watch the games on. How good would that be for the Euros? Scotland's Euro Stories with the Scottish Sun. Get it where you get your podcasts, or on Clyde One Super Scoreboard's YouTube channel. Head to ClydeOne.com now for the chance to win. Remember to stay ahead of the game with the Scottish Sun Sport at scottishsun.co.uk.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans here with me, Andrew McLean, and they are deliberating over this full-time teaser. Can you name the last 8 players to win a top 5 league title after leaving Celtic or Rangers? So a top 5 league title. So England, Italy, France, Germany or Spain since leaving Celtic or Rangers. So far you have Henrik Larsson, who won it with Barcelona and Manchester United, Virgil van Dijk at Liverpool, Jeremy Frimpong at Bayer Leverkusen and Giovanni van Bronckhorst at Arsenal and Barcelona. Seeing a few good shouts on Twitter as well. Shono has a good one there that you two don't have yet.
Oh, Shono, come on, man. I've got one. Gattuso.
Gattuso, correct. Won a couple of league titles with AC Milan after leaving 2003, 2004 and then 2010-11 season as well. You have 3 more to get. Do you want me to give you a bit more thinking time?
Yes.
We can get back round to that at the end of the show.
Why not?
Okay, right. Let's do that. Let's take a look at some of the other news that's going on. We were talking about Oscar Cortez earlier on. Any surprises for you in the 5 Rangers players that were released on Saturday at all? Or did you expect that they would all leave? I suppose John Lundstrom's maybe the more interesting one, because Philip Clement had been asked about him more than once in recent months and had said that there was a lot of love between the two. And but despite that,
an open secret, he was going somewhere else, you know, so there was no surprise in it for me. Not with any of them. I think they'd all run their course. And Rangers are in the market for freshening up, re-energising the whole place, because the season ended in drastically poor form for them. And the feeling among the fans, I think, is that too many have been to the well too often and Rangers need a reboot.
Do you see, from a Celtic perspective, there being movement on Ida and Bernardo soon? Certainly Celtic interested in getting both players back on a permanent basis. Do you think that's something they'll try and get wrapped up as quickly as possible? Maybe the only complication being Norwich having a new manager through the door might want to analyse Adam Ida and see what he's made of, what he thinks of him before any deal is struck, if there is going to be one.
Yeah, no, I think they want to get the business done, and I think signing Adam Ida would be a good signing. I really do think he brings something different to the team. He's a focal point, scored goals for them, so he guarantees them of that. Domestically, I think he would get better the longer he's with the club as well and playing with the players. So yeah, and listen, Celtic have got the money to go and spend it if they want to and force Norwich's hand, but will they do that? I'm not sure. But I really do think it would be a good sign, it would be a good bit of business, and you want to get your business done early. I'm pretty sure the managers will be trying their hardest to get these ones, especially a guy they've had on loan, so they know what he's all about. They'll want to get that one tied up as quickly as possible.
They've got money, they need to spend it, but they can't abandon business principles. I heard the caller in last week's Super Scoreboard say, pay £10 million to
Simon
get...
Simon Donnelly said, pay £10 million pounds if needed.
Sorry, Simon, no. You know, they have plenty of money, but £10 million for Adam Ida would be excessive.
Again, Celtic are very, very clever in their business model. Incentivise it. If they progress in Europe, there's another payment to Norwich. Do all these things that I'm pretty sure they'll be doing that behind the scenes to make it attractive for Norwich if Celtic are successful. And again, that's what I think they should be doing behind the scenes. If they progress in the Champions League and get out the Champions League group stages, then there might be another payment for them. And that works well both ways, because it means the player's probably performing well, but also the club are bringing in another revenue because they've progressed. So yeah, I think they'll be looking at all these types of things in the deal.
The new manager at Norwich is a complication, because he's going to say, hold on a minute, he went up to Scotland, scored the important goals that won Celtic the title, and then scored the goal that won the cup. So I'll just have a look at him first, thank you.
I remember there being an argument during the summer shows of the summer that Celtic signed Jota and Cameron Carter-Vickers, and they'd been on loan, and then they managed to sign them on permanent deals, and some people making the point that, you know, you're spending money to stand still, but that didn't turn out to be the case with those two, especially with Jota, because the two players were a good age, they'd proven their quality, that spending the money now can be a really good thing in the long run. Adam Ida and Paulo Bernardo, you know, no guarantee that they're going to kick on from what they did last season. Adam Ida, you would say, had a more impressive season than Paulo Bernardo overall, or certainly the half season that he had there. But if you get these players in for a decent price at a good age, there's always that potential to be able to sell them on, like they did with Jota.
If I am to believe what I've read about Paulo Bernardo, then the money that is expected for him is £6.5 million. Again, I think that's a bit on the high side for Paulo Bernardo.
I think the chat is that Celtic have been in talks with Benfica to maybe try and barter that fee down.
Well, okay. But as I say, you can't abandon business principles altogether. You've got the money and you can go elsewhere and get somebody. But there are times when you're going to be asked for a fee that's unrealistic and excessive. And, you know, I'll tell Simon to his face, I don't think that Adam Ida is a £10 million player.
Let's go back to the phones. Andy is in Finiston. Did you watch the Scotland game tonight, Andy?
I did, guys. How are you doing? Aye. I was just saying the producer. I was actually, or he took me a chance, but I was actually quite surprised that they played, let him play on a plastic pitch. No, I know he can get injured in pitches, but I was quite surprised to let him play that. It's so close to the game. On, you know, the German game, you know, in case you've more chance of getting injured than that, obviously, than you're having a grass pitch.
Tonight's pitch?
Yeah.
I actually couldn't tell you whether it was a plastic surface or not.
Yeah. The last time,
I'm almost certain it was grass. But
the last time I was there for a pre-season game, certainly wasn't an artificial surface. It was grass.
Yeah, it is a grass surface. So maybe it just looked a very good dry surface.
I know it was very dry. And again, there comes a risk with playing in countries that have got this type of heat at this moment in time. And I think I heard them saying that didn't really get water too much before the game, so it almost acts like, as Andy says, an artificial surface because it's so dry. And again, that slows the game up as well. So there's loads of little things tonight that the intensity wasn't there for the full 90 minutes. We know that, but they got through the game. They did okay. They got the win. They got a couple of goals. Hopefully, no real bad injuries. We need to wait on Liam Cooper. But yeah, it was job done for me really tonight, and that was it.
It was a grass surface, Andy, but just generally when it is, you know, not long to go until a major tournament, is that just something that's always in the back of your mind in terms of injuries, especially with what happened to Lyndon Dykes last week?
Yeah, I totally agree with Hugh and Cam were saying the Friday's game. That's just a big test. We need, obviously, we never heard the defence in the big tested once or twice, maybe, you know. So Friday's a big one to get his near enough. He's full start 11, and we'll see. Hopefully, we can get a good result, a good performance. We definitely need a good performance on Friday.
Who would you like to see play, Andy? If it is going to be, you know, Steve Clarke's starting 11 that's going to go into the game against Germany, there's definitely some areas up for grabs, especially you would say up front with Lauren Shankland and Shea Adams. Shankland started, but Shea Adams got the goal tonight.
I think he's obviously going to play like Tierney, Callum McGregor, you know, players like that. I saw John McGinn was quite quiet today. Told him, you know, he was a bit, but again, it was a funny kind of situation, right? The atmosphere and all that. But so hopefully come Friday, you'll get near enough.
John McGinn was quiet until he dinked a beautiful ball to Harry, Che Adams.
Harry,
Well, thank you very much to Andy. I tell you what, we need to get a move on with this teaser. Can you name the last eight players to win a top five league title? England, Italy, France, Germany or Spain since leaving Celtic or Rangers? You have Larsson, Van Dijk, Frimpong, Van Bronckhorst and Gattuso. Two from Celtic, one from Rangers. You have a player that won it with Lille in Ligue 1, a player that won it with Atletico Madrid, La Liga, and a goalkeeper that left Rangers and won a league title at Manchester United.
Oh. Roy Carroll. No.
Earlier than him.
Earlier?
Yep. Didn't really feature much for Andy Manchester Gorham. United. There we go. Here Andy we go. Gorham. You have two more to go. A winger and a striker. Former Celtic
was there
players.
A Celtic player. Did Dembele, was it him that went
Moussa
to...
Moussa Dembele. Oh, great shout. Had a loan spell at Atletico Madrid. A winger with a famous dad at Lille. American international.
Oh, Timothy Weah.
Yes. There we go. Thank you to these two in the studio and to you at home. Of course, we will be back tomorrow night. Plenty more reaction to that Scotland game and any domestic matters. Make sure to tune in.